We'll turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. This letter, of course, is powerful. It's a great truth concerning the body of the church and the body of Christ. And in this passage, we're going to see tonight a big overview. And we're going to see the blessings that belong to us in Christ. It's sort of unique because we don't usually go this many verses at one time, but we're going to put the whole thing together tonight. The letter is packed with doctrinal truth and practical instruction as well. And last time we began, we got the background. We talked about Paul. We talked about Ephesus as a city. We got the big overview. We divided the book into two sections, who we are in Christ and then how we are to walk as those who are in Christ, chapters 1, 2, and 3, and 4, 5, and 6. This evening, we're really going to see two things. We're going to get a big overview. We're going to put together verses 3 through 14, and then we're going to put some details. We're going to see the verses and how they fit. And this week, we're just going to get the big overview. And then next week, we'll start and we'll take a couple of the blessings at a time as we go through it. So there's a lot there. This is a powerful passage. In fact, when I read it a while ago, as I was reading it, I thought to myself, good gracious, all this is in there? All of this is in there. How are we going to talk about all this? It's powerful. We're just going to get the big picture tonight and in the details in the weeks to come. May we be excited and realize all that we have, just the blessings that He has promised us in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great night. Thank you for this time. Thanks for that great song and then all of the songs that we've had tonight, opportunity to worship you through singing. And Lord, now as we go to the Word of God, we ask you to teach us, Lord. We just want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. We want to know who we are in Christ and in how we are to live. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, as we look at it tonight, we'll see the things that you have given to us because of our connection and our union with Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we just ask you now, teach us, help us to understand it. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I lived in Dallas for about 4 years, of course, while I was attending Dallas Seminary. And downtown, there's this great ministry. Really, it's called the Union Gospel Ministry. It's the place for the homeless people to go and the drifters. I remember one time I went down there with a friend, and he did some speaking, and I did some other things. And then we met with some people, and it's a unique place, as you know. This is Dallas, and it's downtown Dallas, and it's people who don't have a place to live. It's the homeless, and they go there, and they get a meal and a place to stay, and the Bible is taught to them and all of that. There are places like this all over the United States, especially in the bigger cities. I read a story about a man who lived in Chicago. He had been in and out of these missions for years. People knew only his first name. They didn't know his last name. And then one night proved to be his last. He died. And after he died there, eventually they found what his name was. They got his whole name. But the surprise was that nobody knew, including the man who had died, that he had inheritance of over $4.5 million. See, in England, he had a relative who died, and he was the lone survivor. But nobody knew who he was. Nobody even got his last name. They just couldn't find him. And so here was this man with unlimited, in a sense, resources, especially for a man who's homeless, $4.5 million. And yet he had great wealth, and he didn't know it. Sometimes Christians live the same way. Because we have great wealth in Jesus Christ, great blessings in Jesus Christ that He's given us, we're going to see in chapter 1, and we don't even know it. We don't know who we are in Christ. We don't know what God has given to us. Chapter 1, verse 3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We don't know what we have in Christ. This evening, as we continue our study, of course, we're just going to see a big overview of the blessings that we have. And I think truthfully, as we look at it like this, we'll just be amazed. You know what I did already? As you know, I study ahead and I've already put this passage together. And then for next week, I've already started going through the next section. And I mean, there's more there than you can imagine. You know how the Bible is. You see it and you say, that says that. And then the more you dig it, you go, well, that says that too. And boy, that's more detail there than I thought about. And what does that really mean? And it's incredible what the Word of God has to say. Now, remember last week we talked about the study. We divided the book into two big parts. The first part is who we are in Christ, the blessings, how we are to live. That's the walk and the application. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, that's doctrinal. That's the teaching. That's our position. We need to know who we are in Christ. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 get very practical. The application. How we are to live. So there's a lot there. In fact, as you study the book of Ephesians in these weeks to come, I think if you can put this book together and have it in your mind, this is one of the foundational books because I think it was a circular letter. We know that the letter was written, of course, to the church at Ephesus, but it was passed around. That was the plan. This is a general letter. If you notice that Paul's not getting on to the Ephesians with any particular issue, such he did in the Colossian letter or the Galatian letter. So it's a very practical, powerful letter. We begin this evening and for a number of weeks focusing who we are in Christ. In fact, that first three chapters deal with that. And as I said a while ago, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to look at verses 3 through 14. The entire section. And as I mentioned when I got up a while ago, it's amazing, but if you go back to the original language, this is one sentence. Now, you know, Paul was famous for these, you know, Greek is what they call a hypotaxis language. And that means it has a main sentence, and then it has all kind of things like, here's the main sentence, and it goes, in order that, so that, we might do, and it just has all these things branching off of it. And so it's not uncommon that a sentence in Greek to be what we might say is two or three verses, maybe even longer. This one is all of these verses from verse 3 all the way to verse 14, is one sentence in the original language. We would say, Paul, you just kind of put all that together, didn't you? Boy, you just kept going. And it's true. And as we think about this passage, in chapter 1, verse 3, he gives this statement, we have blessings in Christ. Chapter 1, verses 4 through 14, he lists the six blessings that we have in Christ. He lists six here. Now, we could say, well, aren't there more blessings than that? There's no telling, but you know, Paul, in one sentence, put down these six things. And I think it's powerful that we know them and we put them together. Now, as we look at it, two ideas go through this whole thing. And here's the first, these two ideas are this, that God gives us blessings and all the blessings are because we belong to Christ. God gives us the blessings, but the blessings come because we're in Christ. Now think about it. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're actually placed in Christ. We were dead in trespass sins. We walked according to the principality of the world. We live separately, and then we trust in Jesus, and God takes us and actually places us in union with Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. But because of the union that we have with Christ, God gives us these blessings. And so it is an incredible, incredible statement that we see how that fits together. So God gives us the blessings all according to His will, His plans, His desires. But all these blessings are based on our union with Christ. So let's get a look at verses 3 through 14, and we'll start with verse 3. And he begins with this, and we're going to get this overview. He says, you remember last time Paul wrote, he says, Paul, an apostle to the saints at Ephesus. And then he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Notice he didn't say with some of the blessings. He's blessed us with some of his blessings. No, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Notice in the heavenly places in Christ. And we'll come back to details on that in just a second. So he says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessing God. Understand there's a Greek word when he says blessed, it's eulegos. We get eulogy from it. It means to praise. It means to say something good. You know, when a person says, would you give a eulogy and you're going to stand up, and what are you going to do? You're going to say good things about the person. That's the Greek word for blessing, means to praise or to say good things. He says, praise be, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to say good things about our God and Savior. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think he's showing the relationship the Father and the Son. Now, that's something that you can't really comprehend. There is one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Not three gods, but one God in three persons. And the Father is not the Son, the Son's not the Spirit, Spirit's not the Father. And yet it's one God, not three gods. We can't comprehend that. But in this passage, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The emphasis is the Father and the Son. Notice how he says, blessed, praised be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, who has blessed us. That's amazing. We can praise God. Why should we praise God? Because he's blessed us. That's what he's saying. He's blessed us. If we stopped right now and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to start from Vernon, and we're just going to go down. I want you to all stand up and tell two ways that God's blessed you. We'd be here all night. Because what would happen is Vernon, first of all, would not stop with two. She would go three, four, five, six, seven, and then Patricia would say the same thing. And we could just go on and on. Because what God has done for us, day in and day out. So he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, notice he's talking about spiritual things. Oftentimes when we think about how God's blessed us, we say, well, look what I have here, and look what I have here, and look what I have this. And sometimes we think of material things. But in this passage, he's talking about spiritual blessings. And he lists six of them. Now, there's so many things we could say when we talk about what God has done for us. But we could use, use a cue from Paul. What are the things he says? What are the key things? Now, sometimes you can read this, and if you read it fast, you might miss them. So we're going to look at them fairly quickly tonight, but we're going to try to pick out these six things. Now, as I said a while ago, notice how he says it. Blessed be our God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, and notice, with every spiritual blessing, and then here's the key, in the heavenly places in Christ. So two things here, two keys sort of stand out. In the heavenlies, in Christ. Now, when he says in the heavenlies, he's saying these come from God. These come out of heaven. See, right now the Father is seated and the Son, Jesus Christ, is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so the blessings we have come out of heaven. These are spiritual blessings. It's incredible. And he says every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. These are not some earthly, temporal blessings. They are eternal, heavenly blessings. There's a big difference. Let me tell you, there are a lot of things we have on this earth that we say, you know what, God, look what God did. That is so fantastic. And it is. But guess what? Someday it'll be gone. It'll be gone because it's a temporal, earthly blessing. They're okay. And we can say, that's fantastic. But in this passage, he's talking about the eternal, heavenly blessings that he's done for us. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then the second key is in Christ. Christ who seated at the right hand of the Father. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20 says God has been raised up. Jesus Christ has raised up the Son, seated him in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. Throughout the Bible, you can go to the book of Hebrews and it says it. You can go to Ephesians and it says it. And it talks about how Jesus made the final sacrifice for sin forever and is set down at the right hand of the Father. So when we think about the blessings, they're heavenly blessings and they're in Christ. Now, I never, when I first started studying the Bible, this in Christ thing was sort of vague. And yet I think as I've studied over the years, there are a number of places that Paul uses in Christ. In fact, last night I was doing just reading a study, and it talked about 130-something references. But the bottom line is that in Christ, being used with the term in Christ, Paul uses it 55 times in his letters. Now, he mentions in Christ or in union with Christ or in connection with Christ a bunch of times, but 55 times he says in Christ, in your connection with Christ. I think it's something that we take for granted that we don't understand, that when you believed in Jesus, God put you in Jesus, which is the body of Christ, the church. You died with him, you were buried with him, you rose with him. That's Romans chapter 6. You're a new creation in Christ. So all the blessings that we have, everything comes because we are in Christ. It's powerful. And I think that as we look at this passage very quickly, we'll see some things that we'll just go, that is amazing. Now, Harold Horner, which was one of my Greek professors at Dallas Seminary, he has just finished his life work. He did all kind of books. He's sort of the famous man in the world for the chronology of the life of Christ, and he's got a book on the chronology of Christ. And everybody uses it and says, well, if Horner says that, that's pretty right. He's this one of those. But he just finished his life work. It's this thick. I got it. It's his commentary on the book of Ephesians. He spent most of his last 20 to 25 years at Dallas Seminary studying the book of Ephesians, putting it together. He says this, put this little outline up, when we look at this action of this blessings that we have in Christ from chapter 1, verses 4 through 14. First of all, he says, we've been selected by the Father. We were chosen and adopted. We're going to see that. The second thing that he says is, that with the sacrifices by the Son, that's verses 7 through 12, there's redemption, there's knowing God's will, there's the inheritance that's there. And then the last thing is we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is the pledge. And so in a simple way of looking at it, you'll notice that in these blessings, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is the Trinity who gives us the blessings. The Father chooses us and adopts us. The Son redeems us, lets us know His will, and gives us the inheritance. And the Holy Spirit seals us with that pledge, which is this being sealed until the day of redemption. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The blessings that you have come from God, come from the Trinity. All fits together. It's so beautiful. Well, let's see these six blessings. What are they? I mean, notice he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then it says, just as he chose us in him. That's something you've got to see as we go through. Every one of these blessings are based on your union with Christ. Here's the first one. I think is at the next slide. The first blessing is we are chosen in Christ. Look at verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Now, the first blessing is that we are chosen by Christ. God chose us in Christ. Now, don't get hung up on this, because God did do the choosing. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. We're doing our own thing, but God in his grace and mercy says, JB, come here. I'm coming after you. I got you. Now I'm pulling you toward me, and you don't even know it. I'm choosing you. He chose us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. Now people get hung up on the idea of choosing of God and all that. And you've heard me say many times that there's a dual aspect in all salvation. Paul is emphasizing in this chapter God's side of what he's done in the blessings. And he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And it is a truth. And don't get hung up on it, but just say, okay, God chose me. There I was like a sheep going astray doing my own thing, and he brings me to himself. From the God, man side of it, you must believe. It's just as true. And as I talked about in our new member class today, we talked about that issue. And there's some people, they are hung up, and all they want to talk about is the choosing of God and the election of God and the predestination of God and the God side of salvation, and they leave out the man side. And then there's other people on the other side, and all they want to talk about is man side, and they want to leave out the God side. And both are true. God chooses, you must believe. They go together. In this passage, he's emphasizing God's side of this thing. And he says, just as he chose us in Christ, in him, before the foundation of the world. Literally, before the beginning of creation. Before he even created all things. You know, the thing that we don't comprehend is that Jesus and God, they're not sitting up there going, what are we going to do next week? I don't know. Let's look down and see what's going to happen. No, it doesn't work that way. Before he created everything, he already did and knew. You know, Jesus is the Lamb of God slain. When? Before the foundation of the world. God deals with us in time, but God is not limited by time at all. In fact, God is outside of time. That's part of his creation. There will come a time that there will be no time. So when it says he's the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world and he chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, that's not a time deal like we think of. This is just the way God deals with all of these things. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Don't get too bent out of shape, but 2 Timothy 2:13 says we should always give thanks to God for you because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. So the first blessing that we have is that God chose us. Notice, so that, for the purpose, that we would be holy and blameless before him. God's plan for choosing us would be a holy and blameless person. That's what he does. He brings us to himself. He gives us his righteousness when we believe. His plan is that we would be holy, blameless people. Because, see, if we're left to ourselves, we're like sheep who've gone astray, each our own way. We do our own thing. We're dead in sin. He chooses us, brings us to himself, so that we would be holy and blameless. You know, there's a positional aspect of this, that in your position in Christ, you are without sin. You are righteous, perfect, and holy. That's your position in Christ. Experientially, you're pretty bad. We all are. But in Christ, we're perfect. We're chosen in Christ that we'd be holy and blameless before him. That's the first blessing. We'll go quickly. Here's the second blessing. He's adopted us as sons. Now, notice this. He goes on to say, in him, or in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. And I'll stop there because he goes on to say something else. But the second big blessing is he adopted us as sons. Literally, it says, in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons. Now, people get this messed up. Predestined means to plan beforehand. His plan that he would make us his son. That's his plan. He said, what are you going to do with people? The ones that I bring to myself, I'm going to make them my sons. I'm going to adopt them. I'm going to adopt them into my family. They're going to be my children. That's why I put John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God, sons of God, those who believed in his name. He says, in love, he predestined, he planned before us to the adoption as son. Literally in the Greek, it says to be placed as a son, to be placed as a child. We were dead and we're now alive. We were children of the devil, now we're children of God. That's the plan. You say, what's your blessing? Here's my blessing. I'm going to choose you. Here's my blessing. I'm going to make you my child. What could be better than that? I had a girlfriend a long time ago, and she was the sweetest thing, and she was adopted. And she had a great family. Her dad died. Her adopted father died when she was fairly young. But she always said to me, you know, I know I'm adopted, and I never knew my real daddy. But what's so amazing is the daddy that adopted me, I'm his daughter, just like I was his real daughter. And I said to her, you are his real daughter. And when we say, you know, we were children of the devil, and God takes us and brings us into his family, and we are sons of God. We are children of God. And we'd say, well, it's just like we're children of God. No, it's not just like you're children of God. You are children of God. He's adopted us as sons. That's how he put it there. Notice, he predestined that he planned beforehand that he would adopt us as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Everything is through Jesus Christ. Everything is through the Son, Jesus Christ. He brought us to himself through Christ. I think 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died once for all, the just for the unjust, to do what? To bring us to God. It's always that way. And then he says this. He says, all of this is according to the kind intention of his will. This is God's plan. And notice how he puts it, the kind intention of his will. This is his kind plan. People question God. If God's such a good God, why does he let a tsunami come? I don't know. Do you know? Is God good? He's the goodest. Right? This is his kind intention of his will. His perfect plan. And notice it goes on to say, the results of this is to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. He said, this is all results in the praise of God. If we stopped right now, we could say, let's stop and praise God. Why? Because we're chosen in Christ and we're adopted as his sons. What could be better than that? We'd say, well, nothing. Well, yeah, there's more. There's more. There's stuff even better. And he's going to tell it to us. And here's the third one. Here's the third one. We'll go fairly quickly. We are redemption. We have redemption in Jesus Christ. Notice verse 7. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Do you realize that in Jesus Christ we're redeemed? We've been purchased by a price. We're going to talk about it in just a minute when we have the Lord's Supper and we think about the blood of Jesus Christ being shed to redeem us. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, he came to give his life as a ransom. He came to shed his blood. And you could say, we as a blessing are redeemed by Jesus Christ. Wow. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, the forgiveness of sins. See, in Jesus you have forgiveness. In Jesus you have payment for sin, but in payment for sin and forgiveness of sin are two different things. In Jesus Christ you have the forgiveness. The forgiveness comes by faith. It says, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Now, the way Paul says this is like, here's grace. I mean, he's pouring it out, and he's putting more and more grace. And you're saying, boy, this grace is just covering me up. Yes, it is, which he lavished on us. You ever got a lot of something? You know, and you keep saying, I think that's enough. No, keep going. Well, okay, I'll take some more. That's what he did. We are chosen, adopted, redeemed, all-powerful, which he lavished on us. And then, right in the middle of verse 8, he starts with another one. This is number 4. He has told us of his plan in Christ. I'm going to go through this one quickly. We'll get a lot more detail when we go through this in detail. But notice what it says. In all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. I'll stop there for a second because it goes on and I'll have to explain it. But he says, in all wisdom and insight, God in his wisdom and insight has made known the mystery of his will. You know what he's done? He's told us what he's going to do. People say, I wonder what God's going to do. But God has told you what he's going to do. If you've ever studied end time events, which we have, we could sit up here and put the board up like we've done in some of our classes and say, here's the next event. Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds. The church is going to be taken out. There's going to be this, 7 years this, Antichrist this, coming again. We could write it down for you because he's made known to us the kind intention of his will. He's told us what he's going to do. That's one of the blessings that he's given to us. Notice he says, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to the kind intention which he purposed in him. In who? In Christ. And then look at verse 10. With the view to, now this is kind of a long verse, but I'll explain it to you. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in the heavens, things on the earth. Now he says, with a view, he's told us the mystery of his will, with the view that he showed how he's going to bring everything together in Christ. And there's no doubt about it. Every aspect is going to come together in Christ. In fact, the Bible calls Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall praise. There's going to come a time that everything comes under Jesus Christ. It doesn't look like it now. In fact, people say, well, this world's in bad shape. It's getting worse and worse and worse. I know. Jesus is not going, what am I going to do? He knows everything. It's going to be in his perfect plan. And at exactly the right time when Jesus comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he says, I'm going to sum up everything in Christ, in the heavens and on the earth. Everything will come under him. We are chosen, adopted, redeemed, and told of his plan, and we're not through. We got two more. We'll go through them quickly. Here's the next one, number 5. We have an inheritance in Christ. Notice the end of verse 10. In him also, having obtained an inheritance. We have an inheritance. Literally it says, having been appointed an inheritance. An inheritance is something that's freely given. This inheritance is things that he gave us. Notice it goes on to say, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. This inheritance is something that he's planned before. He's planned an inheritance for us. Ever thought about what it is? What has he got for you? You know what he said? I go to prepare you a what? A place. If it wasn't that way, I'd have told you. In my Father's house, there are many what? Rooms. And when I get it ready, I'll come back and get you. That's part of the inheritance. He says in Philippians chapter 3, he's going to return and he's going to change your body into a glorious body like his. He says, I'm going to give you eternal life as a gift. He has a great inheritance for us. Notice, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Now, I want you to know that verse 11 really helps me because it says everything is being worked out according to his plan. There's no fate. There's no luck. There's no chance. There's no bad break in life. God is in control and he's working all things. And then in verse 12, he says, to the end, that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. He says the whole result is that we are the first ones who believed in Jesus. And he's talking about this first century believers. He said, we're the ones who would be to the praise and the glory of God. He says, when we show people our inheritance and we talk about all this, God gets the glory. There's one last thing. It's number 6. It's that we're secure in Christ. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says. In him, verse 13, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him, in Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, look at what he says. In Christ, after you listen to the message, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've got to hear the message before you can believe. People say, well, just believe. Believe what? You got to believe a message. You got to have some objective truth to believe. There has to be something to trust. There has to be the truth of Jesus to believe in. And he says, and you, after you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the message that brings salvation, what did you do? Having believed, you believed the truth. When you believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit seals you. And we know what a seal is. A seal is to keep something secure. When they had the tomb of Christ and they rolled that stone there, they put a seal on it so that nobody would open it. When they threw Daniel in the lion's den, the king put a seal over it so nobody could get into it. When you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were placed in Christ and the Holy Spirit sealed you in Christ. Can you get out? No. You gonna ever get out? No. You are safe in Christ. People say, I hope I don't lose my salvation. You cannot lose salvation. If you have eternal life, you have eternal life because you are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. It's forever and ever. It breaks my heart to see people who are wondering if they're going to go to heaven. And you say to them, have you believed in Jesus? Oh, I trusted Jesus. Yes, I've trusted him as my Savior. You're going to heaven? I hope I am. Wait a minute. Whoa. You don't understand. If you believe in Jesus, he gave you eternal life. If you believe in Jesus, you're secure in Christ because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's powerful. And then look how he ends this. He says, who? The Holy Spirit is given as a pledge of our inheritance. It's a pledge. You know what a pledge is? If you wanted to buy a house and they said, you need to put down a pledge or a down payment or an earnest pledge. And you say, okay, I'm going to pay the rest of the money later, but I'll give you this money now that proves I'm going to pay the rest of the money later. Well, God says, I've got an inheritance for you, which is out of sight. And I'm going to show you that I'm going to give you an inheritance. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit first. That's a down payment. You got the Holy Spirit now. If you got the Holy Spirit now, just think what you're going to get later. And that's what he says. He says, who is given as a pledge, a down payment of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. He says, this is just the down payment. I mean, the final stuff is coming later. The rest of the inheritance is coming later. If you said, you know, right now inside me, I have the Holy Spirit. You can say, yeah, but that's nothing. That's just the start of what he's going to give you. That just shows you he's going to give you the rest of everything. It's powerful. We are secure in Christ. And what we're going to do in the next few weeks, we're going to go back and we're going to take a couple of those blessings at a time. And we're going to go in more detail. What have we seen? God blesses us with spiritual blessings. It's his will in Christ. There are six blessings. Chosen Christ, adopted as sons, redeemed by the blood of Christ, made known his plan. We have an inheritance in Christ and we are secure in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. This all has been done for us. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, he freely blesses you in the Beloved. The Beloved is Jesus Christ. Let me give you some applications quickly. Thank God for the blessings. Realize all the blessings we have, they're all from God in Christ. Chosen, adopted, redeemed. We know the plan. We have an inheritance. We're secure. All of this is done by God in Christ. And here's what's something you can do. There's six of them. Why don't you start tomorrow and in your quiet times for the rest of this coming week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, those 6 days, take one of those blessings. Like on the first day, maybe take the tomorrow, look at the idea that we've been chosen. And the next day, look at the idea we've been adopted. And the next day, redeemed. And go through one of those every day and spend some time in your quiet time saying, thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for adopting me as your child. Thank you, Lord, for making me secure in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the inheritance that you've given me. Thank you for the redemption. Thank you for the plan. So spend some time doing that. Thank him for the blessings. Number two, let's proclaim in this community the way of salvation. A, I think, is there. In there, is there an A? Yeah. God is the one who saves us in Jesus Christ. You know, the salvation package, this whole thing, these blessings are all because of the fact that we have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. It's not our goodness. It's not what we do. We are all like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way, but God has saved us, adopted us, redeemed us. He has told us about his plan. He has sealed us. We cannot take credit for our salvation and our blessings. It's all from God to us in Christ. The second one is one that trust Christ as Savior. Number one, if there's anyone in this room, over there and here, over here, if you have never believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, tonight, right where you're sitting, you can understand that he died on the cross, that he paid for sins, and he rose again, and you can have eternal life, salvation, not by what you do, but simply by faith in Jesus. You trust in him for eternal life. So I hope and pray that right where you're sitting right now, you can say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again. I'm trusting in him to get me to heaven. I'm trusting in him for eternal life. And by the authority of the scripture, you have eternal life. We could make an application from that is that as we go out from here. Let's make sure that others understand so they can put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. May we begin to see the blessings that we have from God to us in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thank you for these great truths. And help us, Lord, as we spend this week maybe thinking of the blessings that you've given for us and given to us. And may we be excited about it, Lord, knowing that it's all because of our union with Jesus Christ, and that comes by faith. And so, Lord, I pray if there's anyone who's never trusted in Jesus, even tonight, right now, they'll believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And, Lord, that we'd be excited about the blessings that you have given to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.